Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation, an astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
That is the entire purpose here. Here's an example of what I mean. You have Rosemont Seneca Partners, Rosemont Seneca Advisors, Rosemont Seneca Technology Partners, RSP Holdings, RSTP2 Alpha, RSTP2 Bravo, Rosemont Seneca Thornton, Rosemont Seneca Bohai. I want to make sure I pronounce it right. Bohai, B-O-H-A-I. And the list goes on and on. Cycling through this many companies serves no legitimate purpose. And as somebody who actually worked in banking, I did that long before I came here. Whenever there was like this many companies just laying all over the place, and you see wire transfers and cashier checks over here going to random members of the family for no apparent purpose at the size and velocity at which all of this was being conducted, the only logical conclusion of a financial professional is you are concealing money. Let me restate this. You are concealing money from either the IRS or from credit agencies or from other people in general. That's the only reason you set up a structure like this.
Where's the lie? I mean, he is 1,000% correct here. Welcome to the show. That's Byron Donalds out of Florida. And this was on the news. I am Dana Lash, as you know, your lovable curmudgeon. The news cycle exploded today, and So this first segment, what I want to do is just give you 30,000 foot view, and then we're going to go from there, because there's at least six things that have hit since overnight, and I just want to make you aware of everything. So first off, welcome to the program. Always good to be with you. So first and foremost, the announcement, the press conference that was held by James Comer a little bit earlier today got into it. It got into how the Bidens, essentially it was a shell game. They got in millions and millions and millions of dollars. And this was all from the, you heard Byron Donalds mention it, the Rosemont Seneca, that firm that Hunter Biden, remember, he formed this firm, and then they had, through that firm, they were working with a Chinese energy company. And the Chinese energy company, that was the company that they had also facilitated the acquisition of the cobalt mine in People's Democratic Republic of Congo. That was also the firm through which they were making all kinds. It was really similar. Let me just put it like this. It was a very similar in setup to what they were doing in Ukraine with Burisma. This had to do, obviously this was with China. Now, 16 different LLCs, so they were playing a shell game. They had more than that. They used over 20 different companies to conceal Chinese money. 16 of those were limited liability companies, and you're talking millions upon millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of dollars from Chinese nationals. At least, now these were Comer's words, at least 9 Bidens got money from this setup. At least 9 Bidens got money from this setup. So we're still, I guess that means there are more Bidens to come. I mean, how many Bidens were getting money off of this? That's the million-dollar question. So you 170 what? I think it was, I've heard everywhere between 150 to 170 suspicious activity reports. And that was apparently what tipped off, reportedly in the beginning, the FBI to look into this whole setup with Joe and Hunter and their business. And then because it's also Joe's brother, I'm trying to think of all the damn Bidens that are involved in this. What is it? Joe's brother. You got Joe and Hunter, Joe's brother, Hallie Biden, the niece. And then there's like four other Bidens. Nine Bidens. They said at least nine got money from this setup. So we've got that. We've got the story that we're going to dive into as well. The CIA solicited signatures for the letter in which they had the, 50 or so intel officials that signed this letter saying that it was Russian misinformation, the whole Hunter Biden thing, the laptop story when it wasn't. The CIA solicited signatures for this. We're going to talk about that as well. So this is just all just the Bidens. I haven't even gotten into Title 42. That's just the Bidens. I mean, the amount of money flowing to this family, something else. And our contributor, Lorraine, over at Chapter and Verse is going to have a piece going up on that. You usually see her in the YouTube discussion. This is crazy. So within now Title 42. Now, hang on, Title 42. So I don't know if you saw, I watched the remarks, and I'm looking at my notes. I watched the remarks earlier from Alejandro Mayorkas. He announced that he's going to pay taxpayer money to combat the cartel narrative of an open border. That's basically what he announced. I mean, I don't know how else you can put it. That's exactly what he announced. So he's saying that he's going to use some of our taxpayer dollars and use that to combat the narrative that the cartels have been pushing, that this is, the border's open, come on up, etc. And Mayorkas was saying, well, you know, don't do that. But I mean, honestly, you're saying one thing and then you are doing another. So that's what he announced today. We're going to dive into that because they're saying that they want to do this, propaganda battle, because the cartels are telling everyone to go to the border. They're making tons of money off of it. They caught some Ukrainian nationals at the border. Did you hear about this story? They caught some Ukrainian nationals at the border, and the nationals were texting each other. It was a woman who was texting her boyfriend, and she told her boyfriend to join her in Mexico because they were dropping off. She said she was dropping off, what was it, in Houston? Illegal immigrants, and she was getting $1,500 a head for them. In texts. When they apprehended her, they got her texts. That's insane. This is the kind of stuff that we're dealing with here. And you have Mayorkas saying, no, it's, and he kept reiterating that, oh, no, the border is not open. He said that specifically in his remarks. And I had wondered whether or not any of the esteemed press was going to at all whatsoever ask him whether or not, you know, what he had to say about that New York Times story that exploded. And I mean, to their credit, they did a good job on this, that New York Times story that got into how Alejandro Mayorkas was demanding that people process the children who were coming in illegally alone, demanding that these non-government operators that the United States was partnering with, these NGOs, demanding that they process them a million times faster. And that led to over 100,000 minors just losing contact with them. That's insane. Nobody asked him about that. It was all a bunch of damn softballs. So we've got that. Oh, wait, there's more with the purchase of one slap chop. So we have the Trump and E. Jean thing. I have like a million things here. We have the Trump and the E. Jean. I didn't follow this story and I didn't talk about it endlessly because it gets into, there were so many motions and there was this and that. And, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that was going along with it. And I mean, at some point, you're just going to be done with it. You're just going to be tired of it because you realize, I mean, it's the kind of the weaponization in some regards of the legal system. So this is the way I was asking. All my lawyer friends were so aggravated last night. And I have a couple lawyer friends that are very moderate, but they don't like Trump. And I was asking them, I want you to make this make sense. So because he has to pay, what, $5 million in damages? So I was asking one of my friends, okay, I was like, all right, make this make sense. Okay, Mr. McCounsel, make this make sense. She accused him of rape. He says he didn't rape her. She takes him to court for defamation and libel because he's running his mouth, all this stuff, which is what gets me is any kind of defamatory penalty. Defamation is such a hard, that is such a hard case to prove. I really want to know who the hell this jury was. Not because I want to do anything. I just want to make sure they're all not like howdy doody dummies. So I told my friend, I said, make this make sense. So you're telling me that, so she accuses him of rape. He says he didn't rape her. She says, yes, you did. The jury says, no, he didn't rape you. But now you have to pay $5 million because you say that you were claiming you didn't rape her?
Yes. Yes.
How does that make sense? This is, I know, the difference between civil and criminal, but oh my gosh. But you had 12 people there who had to make a determination about this. I think that when it's a criminal trial, I think that the juries rarely get it wrong. For the most part, rarely. There's another case I got to get to as well. But with civil, I don't know, it's just different. This is just weird to me. But I was asking people, I'm like, I need you to make this make sense. And all my lawyer friends were like, yeah, we don't, that's kind of what it is. I don't know. And then my one moderate lawyer friend who dislikes, but is, you know, very reasonable person, just dislikes Trump. And this person's a New Yorker. I think that, like, if you're a New Yorker and you dislike Trump, it's something different. You know what I mean? It's almost, I don't get what it is. It's almost like being a Yankees fan. It's like you either like him or you don't. And that's like your New York identity. You know what I mean? I don't know. But it was like, but he had said, I don't even understand the charges. I'm trying to understand. I don't even understand the charges. And he says this hellhole is a banana republic. And that was pretty much it. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. But that's, I mean, ultimately, if you distill it down, that's, I just don't understand how that makes sense. I really don't. So we're going to dive into that a little bit because I told my friend, I was like, so she claimed he raped her. He said he didn't rape her. The jury agreed he didn't rape her, but he has to pay $5 million because he said he didn't rape her. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. That's what I texted. My other friend said, I can't make it make sense because it's all BS, but it wasn't shortened. Yeah. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it either, guys. So we've got this. So we got this on deck. Also, you're like, Dana, stop. This is the Ralph from The Simpsons gif. He's dead already. Stop. So Tucker's back, kind of. He put out a video yesterday saying that he was, well, he's going to do another broadcast. He actually didn't say what he was going to do totally. Everyone just inferred that he was going to do a broadcast on Twitter. But Elon Musk said there's nothing that's been signed. I want to tell you, Elon Musk's language was super cagey. He's like, nothing's been signed. Oh, but you got to the point where you can say that nothing's been signed yet in this whole entire process. We're there, but not where we're signing stuff yet. That's what I got out of that. Did you get out of that too?
I'm still questioning whether or not Fox has him on the payroll still. Like, I'm thinking that they took him off the air, still paying him. And I think, I don't know, because I'm hearing rumors it was part of the Dominion lawsuit. Like, all of this stuff is still up in the air.
I don't know. I mean, there's so much. There's so much speculation, and I don't want to get involved in it. I mean, he's my friend. I don't want to get involved in his. I don't want to mess things up or, you know, like, speculate too much. But there's obviously, I mean, he's lawyered up, and there's certain things that I think that he can do and that he can't do. I mean, just like with any contract, and especially the bigger that you get in the, you know, the top more, the nearer to the top of the pyramid you get, contracts get crazier. And I think that, you know, there's something, like I said, there's some things he can do, some things he can't, and you know, we'll see how it all pans out. But that's very interesting. And I also don't think that he's going to do anything recklessly. He's got a really good attorney. That's a well-known attorney that he has. He's got a very good lawyer, and that lawyer is got a record of W's. So just saying, you know, he's being advised well. So I don't think he's doing anything reckless. I think it's all part of, you know, and Tucker's very methodical. He seems kind of like a goofy dude on TV sometimes. He He's not. I mean, he can be. He has that aspect of his personality, but he is, he can be incredibly serious. And so I don't think that he's doing anything without having given it a lot of thought and planned it all out. So there's a thing about all that. There's just something, you know, there's something to it. Okay. So we've got all this. We've got the Title 42. We've got the Biden stuff. We also have Biden targeting dishwashers, which we're going to get into as well. Here's the other case that I wanted to get into. We have this case. Do you remember? Let me pull this up. I have this in my Law and Order, and I wasn't going to. I just wanted to put this on the table for you. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. The Army sergeant who was in the middle of a protest in Texas. And he ended up shooting and killing a protester. Well, they got the verdict in for that, and they found him guilty.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, Dianne Feinstein, kind of, maybe allegedly, is returning to work. They said that she's returning to Capitol Hill after a three-month absence, according to the spokesperson. The reason why Democrats want her out is because she's on the Judiciary Committee and they want to turn over a lot of what happened under Trump when he was president. And that's why they don't say anything about Fetterman. But they're going after Feinstein. So they said she looks like she's coming back to work. Musk says no deal with Tucker has been signed yet. And DeSantis is going to be sending more illegal entrants to sanctuary cities. Stick with us. I have some exciting news for those of you who wish that you could be nearer to Hillsdale College. Now, you can be a part of Hillsdale, no matter where you are in the world. In addition to their free online courses, Hillsdale College has created something new, the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. It allows you to learn even more from Hillsdale anywhere at any time. And on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network, you'll hear podcasts that feature conversations with Hillsdale College faculty, staff, friends, alumni, as well as visiting speakers and authors discussing everything from philosophy to theology to history, economics, politics, and current events. Listen to hundreds of episodes on the network, from the Hillsdale Dialogues to the radio-free Hillsdale Hour to the Larry Arnn Show, all for free. Get informed and entertained at Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com, and learn more about their free online courses and the new Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, changing hearts.
Are you at risk of losing your job to AI? Although some jobs will be eliminated, more jobs could be created. As the fears of artificial intelligence grow, will creative destruction work in this decade? What should you do to prepare? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Since Joe Biden has spent decades in the Senate, served 8 years as vice president, and is now president of the United States, and the family's getting money from various countries and foreign businesses through various shell companies and this web of LLCs, I mean, guys, you in the press, this is easy pickings. I'm giving you Pulitzer stuff here.
Man.
Like, all you have to do is literally look at our memo and see the level of detail upon which they have created this. And it's very, very frustrating.
Yeah, and he is absolutely right. This Byron Donald's talking about the Biden making money. The Biden's making money using the White House. I'm using whatever elected office Joe has. I mean, ultimately, that's kind of what it is. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. That's what it is. I mean, they're making I don't really feel like being nice about this. I got to be honest with you. If I'm being real, I don't feel like being nice about this. This is, anybody else would be arrested for like so much less. And this family gets away with it because of their privilege. Now, that's using it right. I mean, they actually do have like legitimate privilege. That's using it correctly. I mean, these Bidens, they got privilege. They got privilege all day long. Because anybody else would be in so much trouble for this. But not them, because they're special. They're special, you see. Man, I wish I had that privilege, don't you? Damn, it feels good to have some privilege. James O'Keefe needs to redo his cover and do it like that. I mean, because really, that's That's what we're talking about. They got privilege. Privilege. How nice is it to have that privilege? Oh my gosh, you guys. You mess up. You go and buy a gun and you get one thing wrong in a 4473. Oh my gosh, you're an FFL. You have like a punctuation error. They're going to come and stick their ATF-sized boots sideways up your backside. That's what's going to happen. Oh, they will come down on you. And then you can be a Biden and they just skip it. Hell, they help you cover it up. You got the CIA out there soliciting stuff. How bad is it? You know what embarrasses me? This is what is embarrassing. That they weren't even working to cover up anything good. Like, if you're going to be in a government cover-up, ladies and gentlemen, I just think if you're going to be in a government cover-up, then it better be like aliens, monsters, aliens and monsters, big bad UFOs working with the CCP or with the Russians, UFOs somehow involved in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, or have it be like a serious, like Cold War kind of thing. If you're going to get involved in a cover-up, make it a good one. Make it because the cover-up always ends up being worse than the crime. That's like the phrase, right? Make it a good one. This isn't even a good... I mean, they're doing all of this stuff for what? For this 50-something-year-old piece of white trash. And that's what he is. Crack addict, baby mamas all over the country. I mean, hell, you know where he ought to go after this gig is up? Wild and Wonderful Whites in West Virginia would love to welcome him. Woo! Oh my gosh. This is just insane. They're not even using all of their cover-up power for good stuff. I mean, when you get the CIA, guys, the CIA soliciting, y'all heard about this, CIA, they're soliciting signatures for Hunter Biden's laptop letter. They were the ones out there trying to get people, the 50 former U.S. intelligence officials, one of whom came out and was like, yeah, I know that what we did, we knew that it was, at the time, we knew that it was a true story. We knew it was true. We knew that, you know, the laptop actually did exist. And we knew the laptop exists because the FBI had it in their, don't forget, the FBI had it in their custody. And so... they still signed it. There was one from David Cairns who said that the person in charge of reviewing, they said that the CIA official was tasked with reviewing and approving a memoir that and this was, I guess, the book that I guess he was coming out with, that Hunter Biden was coming out with. One of the signer of the statement, CIA analyst David Cairns, disclosed to the House committees that a CIA employee affiliated with the agency's pre-publication classified, I'll try it again, pre-publication classification review board, the PCRB, informed him of the existence of the statement and asked if he would sign it. The committees requested additional material from the CIA, he said, which has ignored the request to date. He was saying that and the PCRB, they review any. So if you're an intelligence person, they have something like this for military. Our friend Jack Carr had to go through all this. They have something like this for military too. If you are in a government agency, then you, and you're writing a book or something to that respect, then you have to have your book. They have to go. They go through it. They'd give it a separate read, and then they have to approve it for publication. Because normally if you go, like when I, my first book that I did, because there were so many legal things in there, I had to do a legal read. Then they do, the publisher does another read to make sure everything, you know, copy editing, etc. So this goes through, like something like this goes through three reads. And so they said that they have these, the PCRB, they were looking at this book, etc. Karen stated that a CIA official tasked with reviewing. So he, Karen's, this was ahead of Hunter Biden's memoir coming out. This Cairns had stated that he was planning a memoir that it was on schedule to publish. And he was doing this about the Hunter Biden laptop letter. And he was asked by the CIA, this guy, if he would like to sign it. He said, when the person in charge of reviewing the book called to say that it was approved with no changes, I was told about the draft letter. The person asked me if I'd be willing to sign. He provided the email. I know the Federalist has it. He provided the email even. And so The CIA official also read specific language from the letter to Karens to convince him to sign it. So Karen says that he doesn't remember the name of the CIA official who asked him to sign it. His wife also worked with the CIA. She had retired like way back in 1995. She signed the letter. And so they were soliciting signatures from all of this. And Mike Morrell, you remember Mike Morrell. So the House Weaponization Subcommittee, he and Clapper were talking. This came out in their investigation. They said that the former director of National Intelligence, Clapper, and everybody remembers James Clapper, that he had repeatedly peddled false allegations. Remember the whole thing with Russia collusion? James Clapper lied under oath. Shut up. This was the guy. He was out there. Was it him or Brennan droning people? Clapper was lying under oath. Clapper was the guy who was actually, he was the guy who got in trouble. He got busted for surveilling AP reporters, or not surveilling, wiretapping reporters. But did you hear anything about the so-called, you know, precious free press then? No, you didn't. So Clapper and Mike Morrell had been in they had been talking back and forth. And when Mike Morrell came in, he was talking about how, you know, really Clapper had been telling him about this letter that was going around. He told Morrell back in 2020, October 18th, he said, Clapper wrote to Morrell, quote, I have one editorial suggestion for the letter. I think it would strengthen the verbiage if you say this has all the classic earmarks of a Soviet Russian information operation rather than the feel of a Russian operation. That's what Clapper wrote to Morrell on the evening of Sunday, October 18th. And Morrell directed the CIA review board. He said he wanted it. It was a rush job. It was a total rush job. He said, I needed to get it out as soon as possible. This is what he wrote. This was in his email to the CIA. This was the next day, Monday on the 19th. So Morrell directed the CIA review board to rush job review the letter because they were trying to get it out before the Trump-Biden debates. The CIA actively working to get this information out ahead of presidential debates. And you're telling me that we need to believe that this agency is somehow, they're not weaponized, they're not politicized to the point of being weaponized? Now, one of the other things that the House Weaponization Subcommittee, and there's a great piece from Sean Davis on this, that they, because they obtained these emails, etc. And James Clapper, he was DNI, so he was the Director of National Intelligence. They still have not provided, apparently, the lawmakers on the House Oversight, the Weaponization Subcommittee. They wanted to get records related to the agency's review. Like, what did the agency do when they were reviewing the letter? You know, how did that work? You know, what was that? How long did it take to get them to approve it? Because it says that the approval, apparently, after they submitted the letter to that review board, apparently they reviewed it in fewer than 12 hours. And one, let me pull this up. They had one other agent, this individual who had said, this one other CIA agent who had asked him, is this all good? Referring to the board. Didn't see response from PRB, which is the board. He texted Mike Morrell that Monday night on October 19th. This is 2020. Yes, they cleared. Morrell immediately responded. Great, the other agent texted back. So you had actual current active CIA involvement, active officials in the CIA, not retired people, not people who were contractors, like actual people working within the CIA who were both promoting and who were soliciting signatures for a letter that they were trying to rush and release ahead of the Hunter, ahead of the Joe Biden, Donald Trump debate. I thought the CIA was supposed to be an agency. Wasn't it advertised as an agency to protect people and the Foreign Intelligence Service?
Outside
of the federal government? I mean, this, I mean, it's just wild. Not only that, but you had, in addition to that, I mean, with James Clapper, he was director of DNI. DNI is who CIA answers to. I mean, good heavens, Clapper. I mean, this, the guy who was just a couple of years ago, he had only, when all of this has happened, he'd only been out of the National Intelligence Office, what, a couple of years? I mean, look, because he's, which, I mean, and the reason I think that that's kind of important is because, I mean, if you're the, you know, former head honcho and you just leave, I mean, you leave, you know, you have a lot of influence still there, right? Yeah, he was out in 2017. So you have the former head of the DNI, the entity to which answers to DNI, CIA, active CIA agent soliciting signatures. This is in addition to everything James Comer came out with today. In addition to everything that they came out with today. All the money that the Bidens are making. How in the ever-loving hell does this go without any accountability? That's the thing. Now, I have a strategy in mind, because obviously I think some of this and some of the reasons that all of this is coming out in the manner that it is because you have Democrats who are in, you know, with it, that are actively looking to get, I think they want Biden out of the way, even though Newsom already bent the knee. I think they want Biden out of the way, because if you have a candidate with this many issues, and this is going to be a battle for the independents in 2024, there's no way in hell Biden can run as a moderate. There's no way. There's no way he can. I mean, this is so bad. This is so compromising. I feel like it's going to get worse. But you partner with the devil, the enemy of your enemy is your friend. That enemy is still your enemy, and they keep being your enemy after the middle guy's out. There's a dangerous strategy that, I don't know. There's just a lot here. Whew. So we have, I mean, good heavens, we got a lot still, because there's more with this. Clapper, I mean, this is, James Clapper is the textbook definition of bad cop. Summer is almost here, and Good Ranchers wants to give you what you've been craving, a beautiful, tasty steak for the grill. Nothing says quality time with family and friends better than an all-American steak from Good Ranchers. I like how everything comes vacuum sealed and it all tastes great. Every cut is sourced from local American farms and is hand-cut, trimmed, and aged to perfection. Good Ranchers is proud to be your trusted source for high-quality all-American meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and pick your box. They have ribeye, New York strip, all-natural burgers, and all the delicious chicken you could ever want. Plus, it's all $30 off with my code DANA. This is the perfect time of year to easily change the way you buy meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and use my code DANA for $30 off of any box, and make this summer one to remember with American meat delivered right to your door from GoodRanchers.com. Nothing says quality time with family and friends better than an all-American steak from Good Ranchers. Use my code DANA for $30 off at GoodRanchers.com today.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Last one, okay.
Title 42. Is the United States ready for the surge of people that's going to come across the border starting later this week?
I spent close to an hour with the Mexican president today. We're doing all we can. The answer is it remains to be seen. We've gotten overwhelming cooperation from Mexico. We also are in the process of setting up offices in Colombia and other places where you can, or someone seeking asylum can go first. So, but it remains to be seen. It's going to be chaotic for a while.
And what the hell has it been now?
As I raised in the meeting, when they said, well, we're going to cut and no spending more money. So what the hell happens? If you cut, you're going to cut people at the border? You're going to cut agents at the border?
So wait a minute. If it's been, all right, it's going on too long. If it's chaotic now, then what, if it's chaotic, going to be chaotic for a little bit, what is it now? Gosh. I mean, I would define what is happening now to be kind of chaotic, wouldn't you, Kane? I mean, it seems like it is. Absolutely. So what is it? Dang, what is it now? Well, that's the president. They don't think it's a disaster. They don't think it's chaotic. They don't think that it's unmanageable. Yeah, they honestly believe. Well, they won't say that. All Mayorkas will say is that it's not open.
Yes.
So, because if they ask him, well, is the border closed? They ignore it. I've seen Doozy yell that. But they won't answer that. But he will say, oh, the border's not open. Okay, well, if it's not open, then is it closed?
Next question.
What's the opposite of open? It's not kind of open.
Is it not open?
Yeah. So when you say that the border is not open, do you mean that it is un-not opened? That's how we're going to actually have to ask questions, I think.
Oh, God.
I can't deal with it. It's newspeak. We got a lot more on the way. Our second hour. Golly, we have a ton still. I haven't even gotten to wokery yet. Stick with us. The KS7 from Kel-Tec might be short and slim on the outside, but it's long under the hood with its 18.5-inch barrel packed into its bullpup design. It's ready for home defense, backcountry hiking, or anywhere you need a compact 12-gauge shotgun. The KS7 is lightweight with a magazine capacity of 6+1 or 7+1, depending on shell size, easy to handle with rear loading and downward ejection, and standard carry handle that doubles as a sighting solution. Every KS7 produced at Kel-Tec is made in the USA by a team who takes pride in their work and believes in respect, family, and the right to bear arms. Every KS7 comes with a lifetime warranty with proof of purchase as original owner. Defend what matters most to you with the KS7 shotgun available through Kel-Tec. Learn more at KeltecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. And sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. Secure your world with Kel-Tec. KeltecWeapons.com.
I cannot overemphasize that our current situation is the outcome of Congress leaving a broken, outdated immigration system in place for over two decades, despite unanimous agreement that we desperately need legislative reform.
Wait a minute. This problem has been going on for such a long time that I can't. Why is it? You can't really just blame Congress and say it's Congress's fault because of this crisis situation at the border. And that's what Mayorkas is doing here. He's immediately coming out and making it political. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lashier, with you. He's immediately coming out and making this like super, super political, saying that, well, it's really ultimately this is it's Congress's responsibility. It's Congress's fault here for this border crisis. It's Congress's fault. All Congress's fault. The problem, though, is that, I mean, it's been a Republican and Democrat problem. I mean, no one's letting. I don't know why, when you try to invoke the culpability of the administration, the left seethes and they bristle and they demand that you include Republicans in it. I don't think that people there. No one has held Republicans more accountable on that than other Republicans. But this goes beyond that. So this was really, I mean, the board, this was a thing. Title 42 is a way to allow a more streamlined, it was used as a way to kind of streamline the flow at the border, right? Because it was predicated upon, I mean, it was passed, you know, a long time ago. It was brought up, implemented by the Trump administration, because there was concern about, before anybody knew anything about the virus and the pandemic, people were concerned about what would be spread if people were coming in at the southern border at the same way that they were pre-pandemic. And they keep saying it's like this Trump-era immigration policy. This thing has been around for a long time. It's just, it was, you know, used by the Trump administration. And it's about removing people who, when you have a communicable disease that is present, and you can remove people or prevent them from entering based upon that. And it was something that was used, like I said, to in some way kind of control the chaos at the border. I don't know how this is controversial, considering every other country has it and no one's bitching about that. Every other country has something like this. It's obviously, but because of the drive-bys, I feel like I have to explain something that should be so remedial. It's not called Title 42 in other countries. They have named it something else. But everyone has such a, everybody has something like this. Every other nation has something like this. And it was used to turn people back or to remove people. And to do it expeditiously as well. To expeditiously expel people. And that's, I mean, and with this, to end this, I mean, this was one of the tools that really people had left. That was all they had left to be able to kind of stem the deluge, at least to make it, try to make it manageable in some way. Now it's going to be crazy. Crazy, crazy. There, one of the spikes they say, and I was looking at this piece, this was, they were saying that a lot of people who wanted to enter illegally were losing patience. And so that's why they're saying that there's going to be this huge flood of people tomorrow. Because a lot of people were done waiting. And I mean, golly, can you imagine? Welcome to... That sounds... You're mad because you've been waiting to get into this. Shut up. I know, because so much of this, there's... And not everybody's asylees. I know that's something that Mayorkas had said too. Do you know they had... pull this up. Not... Like in the Rio Grande Valley, the Rio Grande sector, they had just a couple weeks ago 7,000 people in custody Saturday morning. The majority were Venezuelans. And they said that as, and it had been increasing, they said they have about that in just that sector alone, they had about 7,000 daily encounters. And you have Brownsville, which is in the RGV sector. I mean, I'm not even getting into the other sectors. This is crazy. I mean, they've been doing a really good job at Border Patrol for these different sectors at updating. Like, for instance, they said, this is from the Chief Border Patrol Agent Gloria Chavez. She says, she tweeted yesterday, just over the weekend, they had 8,078 encounters, 16 smuggling cases, 21 principals and one sex offender arrested, meaning that there were 21 criminals and then a sex offender, 147 pounds of marijuana, almost 3 pounds of cocaine. That is wild. But that's crazy. I mean, this is that's just one sector. Guys, that's one sector. You can go and look at all these different Custom and Border Patrol. They all post their stuff. They all post it every day. That's one sector. It is amazing. The Del Rio sector. We had that. We were talking about those just the other day. Oh my gosh, it's just so bad. Every sector, you got 6,000 here, 7,000 there, you had 8,000 there. Daily. That was just over her weekend numbers. They were looking at like 7,000 a day. And in Eagle Pass, the line of people at Eagle Pass is almost unbelievable. I mean, it really is unbelievable. He was saying that just this was in the Del Rio sector. This was a week before the update that I gave you from the RGV sector. They had over 5,000 apprehensions, over 3,200. They had approximately 3,209 known gotaways. They had 5 sex offenders, 7 illegal reentry, and 1 gang member. 88 smuggling cases, and they had firearms seized. So they were illegally bringing in firearms from across the border. And then they get into, they have been arresting, in another update, he had MS-13, and they have the pictures of them. Here's the MS-13 members that they've arrested. And then the weekend before that, by the way, in that Del Rio sector, they had gang members, sex offenders, 4 illegal reentry, and they had 2,822 known gotaways. That's just at one sector. Notice how many sex offenders are coming up. They had smuggling arrests, human smuggling arrests. We have people loaded in the back of trucks, some of them kids. They had photographs of their Border Patrol agents having to drag children and women out of the water. The men, I guess, leave them behind there? Is that what it is? Coyotes just throw them over there and leave them? I don't know. This is just, it's unbelievable. They also found a, I'm going to pull this up. This is what's happening at the border. I'm reading you all this stuff because you're not hearing all of it. They also had a toddler. They had a, it was the Rio Grande Valley. This is the RGV sector. They found a group of illegal entrants walking in the brush west of Roma, Texas. They said all the adults were distancing themselves from this, they said 3 or 4 year old. No one claimed familiar relationship with the child. The child's clothing had telephone numbers and names written all over. And there are photos. That's what's happening. That's what these border policies are doing. And so Mayorkas gets out there and says, well, we're going to spend money combating the propaganda from the cartels. We're going to try to combat the propaganda from the cartels that say that the border is open. You know, we're going to, which means they're going to, instead of closing the border, they're going to spend taxpayer dollars arguing with the cartels. There's, we got audio of this. This is audio of Sunbite 19. Listen, this is Mayorkas. He's like, well, we're making it very clear. This is, again, he won't say the border's closed. He just says it's not open. Listen.
We are making it very clear that our border is not open, that crossing irregularly is against the law, and that those who are not eligible for relief will be quickly returned.
Do you believe him?
No.
And in the meantime, the Bidens, he had a movie night. You know, he had the movie night last night. I was talking with Jesse Waters yesterday evening, and they were saying that he only eats beige food. Biden has, he's been criticized because he only eats beige food, like bread and buttered noodles, like a toddler. And that he won't eat vegetables. I mean, this sounds weird. It's weird. Meantime, the family got $1 million from Romania. In addition to all the millions that were coming in from China, a second records memorandum from the House Oversight Committee that revealed the Biden family bank docs. And it said the memo specifically outlined the family ties to Romanian influence peddling. It also touched on all those LLCs we mentioned that were made by Hunter when Biden was VP. Hunter Biden and his associates formed 15 of those companies. We were talking about that. There were like, 16 total? Seven of them, I think, were LLCs. And now, in addition to getting millions from China, they also got an undisclosed $1 million from Romania. They don't disclose that stuff. One of the reasons Paul Manafort went to jail for tax evasion, and they said that he went to jail for foreign agent. He wasn't registered with under the Foreign Agents Registration Act. So he was lobbying on behalf of foreign entities, but he hadn't registered. And he had been taking money from foreign entities and lobbying, but then hadn't registered. How is this not the same thing? Explain that to me. How is this not the same thing? Listen to this. Audio Soundbite 6. Representative Armstrong was talking about this Romanian money. Listen to this.
I spent 10 years collecting legal fees. Nobody would pay or receive payments this way. It makes absolutely no sense. And again, the structure is the same as the Chinese payments. If it's for legal fees, why are the deals the same? In fact, it's very hard to come up with any legitimate business reason to conduct transactions with this type in this type of complex way. Why would separate payments go to Hunter Biden's business and to himself individually? Why would Walker transfer money from his business account to his personal account before distributing the money? Why are other Biden family receiving any of these payments? We need to understand more about this $3 million deal. But it's clear that the pattern shows two separate foreign countries paid millions of dollars through Walker, of which the Biden family received a one-third cut. These payments, their timing, the complexity of the money transfer for transactions, all warrant further investigation into a possible influencing peddling scheme. This is simply not how legitimate business is conducted. And the fact that Vice President Joe Biden was lecturing the Romanian people about corruption while his family was being paid over $1 million from a Romanian businessman who was being prosecuted for corruption would be laughable if it wasn't so charming.
Wow. Wow. Corruption amok. But hey, you only go to jail if you're a Republican to do it, apparently. I'm not saying nobody should do it, but, you know, it's different when they do it. We have a lot more on the way. We've got headlines on the way as well. And when you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes. And, you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
George Santos is in custody. He was indicted on 13 federal charges, including money laundering and wire fraud. And he's accused of using donor money to buy designer clothes and cover his debts. And it was about $25,000. Let's do Hunter. I don't give a rat's ass about George Santos as long as Hunter Biden's running around. I don't care. George Santos, if we're going to have two systems of justice, I don't recognize that. If you want to be lawless, I can promise you I'll be meaner than you. So let's just be lawless, okay? See, the law isn't for people like you. It's for people like me. It's like you're not locked in this room. I'm not locked in this room with you. You're locked in this room with me. That's the difference. So I don't care. Do you care?
No.
I don't care. Anyway, moving on. I'm gonna tweet something about it, and Twitter will catch on fire because people get so mad at me. I can't stand. You know, if you're gonna be lawless, then all right. Let's see. We got a couple of other things here that I wanted to get into that I didn't get into all the way last time. This debt debacle laid bare. I don't know if you saw. Do you want to know how much the United States owes? $7 trillion to foreigners. Japan owns a significant amount. $1.1 trillion of debt is held by Japan, $860 billion China. Those nations are the largest foreign sources of financing the debt of the United States.
Japan, Ukraine?
Yeah, we just sent another billion over to Ukraine. That was announced yesterday. That was just yesterday. We just sent $1 billion over there. So, you know, I mean, nothing big. No big deal. No big whoop. You know, just, you know, it is. I had this story. FDA said that that people can eat. I don't know why people would do this. They could eat gene edited pigs, genetically altered pigs. They said that's apparently it's something they're looking to clear. I don't trust that. Do you? We have Congressman Troy Nels coming up.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all, live or on demand. The Dana Show.
Nobody ever asked this question. Do Americans gain from all the immigrants you're bringing into the country that drive down wages, that push up rents?
Sir, we are a nation of immigrants, and we are a nation of laws. Individuals who qualify for relief under our laws have a basis to remain in the United States. The contributions of immigrants to this country is quite clear.
This reporter allowed him to climb up on his high horse, Alejandro Mayorkas, answering a reporter's question. Climb up on that giant high horse, 50 hands high, get up on that high horse, and then lecture everyone. Well, about it. You know what? Here's the issue. It's a nation of people who enter the country legally. That's the question. And the answer to that question. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can also stream the show. You can watch the simulcast of the radio program all over YouTube, Facebook, channel 347 on DirecTV as well. Joining us right now, who we played his, I almost have to. We played his audio soundbite, I think, more times in the history of this program than we've ever played any radio soundbite. Congressman Troy Nelson represents the Republic of Texas's 22nd district. You can thank him for Yum Yum. He joins us now because he's got some bills dealing with Title 42, which we're going to talk to him about on this. But I wanted to kind of get his response to Alejandro Mayorkas there and kind of sort of, you know, see what he thought about Mayorkas's remarks this morning. He says, Congressman, that the border, he doesn't say that it's closed. He just says that it's not open. So I don't know what the opposite of not open in his mind is.
Dana, thank you for having me. I will say, the old liar, liar, pants on fire. I mean, that's what Mayorkas is all about. As soon as the Republicans could, you know, get the nerve to offer articles of impeachment on this guy, I would be a yes, absolutely, because he misrepresents, he actually misleads, he lies to the American people when he said that we have a secure southern border. The border is not secure. I think the American people can see it. But we do know that Mayorkas and his leader, Joe Biden, they are doing this by design. They don't want to have a secure southern border. They want these people coming into this country. They actually support it because he encourages people to come from places across the entire globe. And we've seen them from well over 100 countries. So, no, this is by design. This is about amnesty one day. This is about citizenship for everybody. That's what this is about. It's about one-party rule in the future.
Yeah, we're talking with Congressman Troy Nelson. I wanted to get your thought, too, because they said, because the president, we played the soundbite earlier, he was saying, well, it's going to be chaotic for a little while at the border. Like, it hasn't, but what has it been now? What has it been up until this point? Because if I were going to define chaos, it would be that.
Yeah, it's been chaotic for 30 months. It's been chaotic ever since he took office. And what we saw is we saw stability down at our southern border under the 4 years of Donald Trump with his policies. You know, on January 20th, I was there for the inauguration. I did it because I respect the office of the president. And he got up there and he reversed everything. He just undid everything Trump did. And I think Joe Biden knew that Donald Trump knew how to secure a southern border. But I think he hates the man so much. He's just going to reverse everything Donald Trump ever did. He hates the guy. He despises him to the core. And you could get in the energy and everything. But as it relates to the border, he undid everything Trump did. We had the most secure border in four decades under Donald Trump. And we should go back to his policies. Joe, you didn't have to say anything. You should have just shut your mouth on January 20th. Not said anything about the border, and we'd be a much more secure country today.
Yeah, we would be. We're talking with Congressman Troy Nelson. And Congressman, I have to point out as well that you have a long history. You were 30 years in law enforcement, to say nothing also of your military service, which we're grateful for your service. But you know, you've served in law enforcement. You understand law and order. I know that the governor was sending an elite tactical border squad of guardsmen down to the border that they were going to try. I think the words were to try to repel, because I think ever since Jan Brewer was governor of Arizona and Eric Holder and the Obama DOJ went after her for trying to enforce and deport, governor's hands are kind of tied. To an extent, they're tied. But I wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, you have this tactical border squad. That's not the official name of it. That's down there. But then you had the administration said that they were sending 1,500 active duty troops to the border, but they're not going to be helping the National Guard repel anyone. No, they're going to be helping with the processing. They're going to be doing administrative work. Your thoughts on that? Oh, I think we may have lost his audio. Do we have Congressman?
Yeah.
Oh, we have him? Okay.
I can hear you, Dana. I lost you there for just a moment.
Yes, I could tell that you lost it. You've lost, because you saw me talking and you didn't hear me. I'll just to quickly recap. You know, we have the Governor Greg Abbott sending this tactical border squad down, but we also have the administration sending 1,500 active duty troops down, but they're not going to be helping to repel. I think that's what the National Guard is doing. They can't detain, but they're not helping to repel anything. They're doing administrative work. They're helping with processing. They're not alleviating really Border Patrol with anything. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yes, Governor Abbott has utilized the Department of Public Safety, our state police, so to speak, in Texas, as well as the National Guard, to augment the Border Patrol. And it's costing taxpayers in the state of Texas. I mean, we are spending billions of dollars every year on augmenting the Border Patrol because the federal government has failed to do its job. I have my concerns. I mean, we pay a lot of taxes in Texas.
Yeah.
And now we're paying to augment the Border Patrol. But you got to understand from a sheriff's perspective is that my law enforcement officers, I had 826 deputies. I can't enforce our country's immigration laws. There were no laws in the state of Texas that gave a state police officer or a county sheriff or his deputies or municipal police the ability to enforce our immigration laws. In the Constitution, it's the federal government's job. It's Congress's job. So I think the governor sending them down there is kind of a show of force. I mean, here we got these guys down there in military uniforms and maybe some weapons and some Humvees to try to help, you know, keep.
Yeah,
some
they were very vague. Not to interrupt you. They were very vague when they said that they would be repelling. They didn't actually say what that, I mean, other than just kind of being a visual presence, you know, I mean, what else is there to do? I mean, you worked in law enforcement. Is that kind of what that means? You're just kind of there to show?
That's right. The Department of Public Safety, they take their cars, they patrol up and down those roads about every mile. There's a DPS trooper. They'll find probable cause. They'll make a traffic stop. They'll find individuals here that have no documentation, no driver's license. They call then the Border Patrol to come up, and then the Border Patrol apprehends them. So that's pretty much how that works. They can't do it on their own. They need to have the assistance and work very closely with the Border Patrol.
Now, I'm sure you saw, Congressman, the story too, DHS telling migrants or illegal entrants, people who are coming into the country illegally, telling these illegal entrants, this is where you need to go to avoid essentially what you just described, to avoid those who are there to repel you coming across the border illegally. Here's where you can go and turn yourself in. I know there's a lot of Customs and Border Patrol agents that are livid over this because you don't tell everybody what your plans are the day before you're going to conduct this operation.
Well, even before January 20th, before Joe Biden was inaugurated, he was telling everybody to come up. He was telling everybody from around the globe to come on up to our southern border. We're a welcoming country. Come on up here. I'm not like that evil, evil man with the pitchfork and horns, that Donald J. Trump, that bad guy, cages, all that other stuff. So he was inviting people to come up here even before he's inaugurated. So that's been the plan. This is not going to get better anytime soon. Make no mistake, because without the White House, the American people got to understand, we're going to pass a bill, H.R. 2. We're going to get it through the House of Representatives. I think it's going to be dead in the Senate. It's a meaningful immigration reform bill. And it's just going to die in the Senate. You've got to have the presidency. We got to have Donald Trump in 2024.
Last quick question for you. I know you have to go and cast a vote. Do your job representing Texans, Congressman Troy Nehls. Is there a possibility if the debt ceiling continues, if those negotiations continue to play out, is there a possibility of House Republicans uniting and saying, you know what, we're not going to continue with talks on the debt ceiling until we secure the border?
I think there's many more things about the border. It's reducing spending as well. So obviously, our Kevin McCarthy, Speaker McCarthy, had a conversation with Joe Biden yesterday. I don't think it went very well, but I hope the Republican Party in our conference stays united on this. If we don't find a way to reduce spending and get what we want and save this country, well, then so be it. It's all on the Senate and it's all on Joe Biden, and the American people will make them pay for it. In January of 2024.
Yeah, they will. Congressman Troy Nehls, we appreciate you, and we loved your line of questioning with Eric Swalwell and Yum Yum. God bless you, sir. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. God bless.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
Oh, yeah. Guys, you know what it's time for.
Yeah. It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So this, my first thought, and I'm trying not to be ignorant, was I hope the Datsun's okay. Just going to leave. That's my first thought. I was like, what happened to the Datsun though? So this story has to do with one woman who's a drunk driver and her Datsun, Pompano Beach. So this family, they were sleeping. It was early Sunday morning, this last Sunday. And then out of nowhere, a silver Lexus smashes through their bushes, their trees, their lights, almost hits their house. The woman, and this is all on their little security camera video. The woman behind the wheel was seen with a little Datsun in her lap. Little Datsun. hesitated for a few moments, and then drove off. And then when the sun came up, the family was shocked to see the destruction everywhere. They finally found the woman, 38-year-old Ashley Kaiser, after she crashed her. And by the way, the car took out their transformer, so they were without power for a day. But 38-year-old Ashley Kaiser, she crashed her car in Coconut Creek, so there was another crash. And an officer reported seeing her chasing her dog around the intersection of the crash. So she's facing several charges. So the dog was okay, including a DUI causing a crash. And thankfully, she didn't kill anybody else. But it's like, how are you? Well, first off, did you go drinking with your dog? I am made of questions. So she, where did she go? Where she like had her Dachshund with her, and she's got her little Dachshund in her lap. I was so terrified this dog was going to jump out of the car window. Juan is showing you the video on the simulcast. I was terrified because it looks like her window's open. And I thought, and this dog, it's a little dog, and the dog is like right up. I mean, yes, I was worried about the family. Oh, you know, come on. But I was like, oh my gosh, this dog is good. She's going to run over her damn dog. But thankfully, the dog is okay.
Don't drink and drive with your dog.
Yeah, I feel like the dog was scared. Like, get me out of this drunk woman's car. She's drunk again. Come help me. I feel like the dog was scared. I will take that Dachshund. I'll take it and love it and hug it. And I want a Dachshund so bad. I know, but I also, this is going to get into a dog segment. So let's keep going. Also, oh man, this is so bad. A Florida man steals steak and beer. I mean, if you're going to steal something before you go on a violent rampage inside of a sporting goods store, you know, steak and beer, I guess, are it. Jensen Beach, Florida. An accused criminal with, by the way, this is not how you spell conscience. I got to stop. Fox 13, this is the story. An accused criminal with a conscious.
Conscious.
C-O-N-S-C-I-O-U-S.
So he was awake and aware?
They meant conscience. C-O-N-S-C-I-E-N-C-E. Guys, it's very simple. This is like literally the 6th word of your lead. It is the 6th word of your lead. This is Fox 13, Channel 13, and it's published by News Staff. They're, okay, I know I got the story, but guys, you cannot be doing this. Come on, Florida journalists, you cannot be doing this. All right, anyway, the guy went on a violent rampage inside of a Florida sporting goods store. According to Martin County Sheriff's Office, 31-year-old Shanluk Diaz, who says he's homeless, walked into a Dick's on Federal Highway, grabbed a bat, said he was sorry, and then began smashing all these glass cases, and everybody just watched him, shocked. It was all caught on camera. He was swinging case after case before walking out of the store. It was all unprovoked. Then they found him stealing a steak from a restaurant and beer from a convenience store. So he was charged with felony criminal mischief. So I don't understand how the conscience part comes in. Yeah. Because you messed up your lead using a word that you didn't even choose properly to describe something that was not touched on again later on in the story. I am not going to get out. Kane's dying right now. This is one of my biggest pet peeves. And oh my gosh, I could spend the rest of the damn broadcast talking about this. It is like right in your lead. Get it right. There's a difference. Words have meanings. Apparently. Okay. It's like I can't stand it when people don't use possessives properly. Unless the next word starts with S, the appropriate grammatically correct thing to do is S apostrophe S. If it ends in S, that's okay. If the letter starts with S coming after the word, then it's just S. I mean, just like, come on, journalists. Are you guys too busy writing like about E. Jean Carroll and about how Trump is bad, DeSantis is bad? Like you can't. Oh, okay. Certain things, man, certain things. I got one more for you. Florida man got bitten by a shark while spear fishing near the Florida Keys. So he's spear fishing. You know, beautiful day in the Keys. He's Monroe County. 22-year-old. He was off of near Davis Reef off in the Florida Keys Saturday morning. And all of a sudden something bit him in the news really said ankle or foot. There's a difference. But a shark bit him in the general ankle area. The U.S. Coast Guard responded, brought him to shore. He was flown to Jackson South Medical Center in Miami. And they said that he's appeared, you know, he appears in good health. His name's Ethan Wilder. It was actually, so in the photo, they were saying it was his ankle or foot. That's what we call a shin. Okay. He's on the road to recovery. And I mean, but it looks like the bite is like a six. I mean, that looks like it's a good 6 inches. That's a pretty big bite. They didn't talk about what type of shark it was or anything like that. They just said that he had been bitten. He's going to recover, but he's going to have a pretty big, scar right there on his shin. We have more to come. Stay with us. More of the Dana Show. Third hour on the way.
Mr. President, if you do, you said you're certain you're not going to not, there won't be default. Are you willing to take unilateral action, like invoking the 14th Amendment, to make sure that doesn't happen?
Well, the question, I have been considering the 14th Amendment. And a man I have enormous respect for, Larry Tribe, who advised me for a long time, thinks that it would be legitimate. But the problem is it would have to be litigated. And in the meantime, without an extension, it would still end up in the same place. I'll be very blunt with you. When we get by this, I'm thinking about taking a look at months down the road as to see whether what the court would say about whether or not it does work. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So the question about this, he's talking about the 14th Amendment, is that this has to do with declaring that any kind of cap, or in this case, debt ceiling, is unconstitutional because it's not compatible with the public debt as outlined in the 14th Amendment, which is Section 4. It says the validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law, including debts incurred for payment of pensions and bounties for services in suppressing insurrection or rebellion, should not be questioned. Neither the United States nor any state shall assume or pay any debt or obligation incurred in aid of insurrection or rebellion against the United States and blah, blah. The Washington Post noted that not even the White House was entirely on the same page as this. And this could be a ridiculous backfire. Janet Yellen, and I was looking for this on break, she told on Sunday George Stephanopoulos that it would be a constitutional crisis if this is the path that the White House wants to take. She says, I don't want to consider emergency options. Now, the issue, though, isn't that this is a Democrat thing, because they keep saying that this is Congress. Okay, well, Congress, the House, which controls the power of the purse, they passed a bill. They passed a debt ceiling bill. It's the Democrats in the Senate and the White House who don't want to have the conversation. They are the ones who will not negotiate. They will not. So they're flirting with this idea of this route instead of just coming to the negotiating table and having a conversation? I mean, that kind of signals to me that they're not serious about any actual reform. And so the links here to which they seem to want to pursue, the links to which they're willing to go instead of doing that, that's really reckless and irresponsible. And I do think that, how is that not curtailing or circumventing, Congress on that? That seems like you're circumventing Congress at that point. I think so, Kane, don't you?
Yeah, sounds like it.
So they're going to go this ridiculous route, apparently, instead of just come to the negotiating table. Because remember, Republicans passed theirs through. It was funny because when Biden was speaking yesterday, when he gave his remarks, he was like, oh, Kevin McCarthy, you know, he barely was able to secure the House Speaker role, et cetera, and all this. He's throwing out insults to buy himself time. Democrats were unprepared that Kevin McCarthy was going to be able to actually get everyone together in the House on the same page and do this as quickly. And I think ultimately, I'll feel a little bit more confident in saying this, depending on how this plays out. This could be a very interesting gambit that they're playing, because they know there's no way in hell you're going to have Democrats in the Senate that are going to come together with a responsible bill that actually cuts government spending and demands some accountability for that spending. So it puts all the pressure on Biden and Senate Democrats. So if everything goes sideways, it's going to be because Biden and Senate Democrats. You're going to be messing around with people's finances going up into an election season. That is not going to go well for them. So I just want to point that out, because Democrats always get these goofy pats on the back from the media whenever they pull one of these things. And they're like, oh, the strategy is great. I don't think you just saw what McCarthy pulled over on y'all here. So just wanted to put that out, what they pulled over on Democrats. They did their job. They passed a bill, and now it's Democrats that won't have the negotiation.
Yeah. It's always been that
way. It has. All right, so we got to... Someone was like, is there a reason that you didn't talk about the E. Jean thing? Well, they didn't say the E. Jean thing like that. Yeah, there's a reason, because I think that she's a living, breathing Harlequin romance novel that great aunts read in the 80s. That's what I think. She's corny, and there were so many motions and back and forth in this case. I'm not going to sit here and bore you to the point of death with every minute detail. And there's a court case, and plus you're not in there, and it's all we weren't in there to see what. Here's what I don't understand. So E. Jean, I don't know who the hell this woman is. What does she do? I literally don't know this. I make it a point not to know people that make me cringe.
She's in the fashion or art world or something.
Golly, do I have to Google this? I have to sit here and do this to my browser. Oh, gosh. I can't even stand her name. Oh, she's an agony aunt, basically. That's what you call, like, the columns where, you know, it's like an ask what's her face thing. Yeah. Oh, that makes so much sense in the world. She's the type of woman who... says gal.
Oh, boy.
Gal pal. She's that type of woman. She's like a walking SNL skit for mom jeans. I don't know. Fashion, really? Anyway, I just don't like her. And I am mad that I have to subject you all to a brief discussion on this, because some of you in the class want to hear it. So I don't know what's your guess about what the hell happened with this case is as good as mine. She says he raped her. He says he didn't rape her. The jury's like, totally didn't rape her. But you got to pay $5 million for saying that you didn't. What? I mean, that's what it was, right?
Yeah.
And how do you defame some? She was the one who was calling him a rapist. He wasn't raped, or she wasn't. He didn't rape her. That's what the jury said. So how?
Yeah.
I liked what he said afterwards in all caps lock. I have no idea who this woman who made a false and totally fabricated accusation is. So they are going to appeal it.
Of course.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I just can't. And then you had Asha Hutchinson out there. He'll hit anybody. So Nikki Haley is the stalking horse. Like, can we just get into this real quick? Nikki Haley's the stalking horse for Trump. And I think Vivek Ramaswamy is too. That's my guess. I get along with Vivek just fine. I get along with Nikki Haley. I think she's completely wrong on foreign policy and culture wars with the Disney stuff. And I think Vivek is a super nice guy, super smart, has a terrifying amount of energy. And he wants to bomb the hell out of everything south of the border. I get it. But, well, he says what he said. He said he told us. Dude, that's what he said. He said he was going to drone and bomb all the cartels. Okay, so there you go. There you go. Okay, E. Jean. All right, E. Jean.
Don't make me sue.
Oh, my gosh. So, but then you have Asha Hutchinson, who's like, guys, I'm running two. I'll hit all of you. Pay attention to me. I'm running. You got him out there, too. It's true. This is a pretty accurate summation of the state of things. So he was saying, what did he say? Pull this up. Because Chris Christie was talking about, who sits there and goes, gosh, I wonder what Chris Christie thinks. If I wanted to know how to close a beach and then use it personally, then I would ask him. But then you had Asha Hutchinson, who says that it's an indefensible behavior, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. And then they asked Mike Pence. Mike Pence played it safe. He said, I don't think this is where the America people are focused. They're not. And then Vivek Ramaswamy had a ball of energy response where he used the phrase, the establishment's anaphylactic response. I mean, that's totally him. So I don't know how you can be accused of being a rapist, proven to not be a rapist, but you got to pay $5 million in defamatory charges because you said you weren't a rapist.
And it was proven that you weren't?
Yeah. Oh, and then there's this. When your lawyer accidentally admits, this is from DC Drano, when your lawyer accidentally admits on live television news that you secretly helped Democrats pass the New York law that decided to do away with statute of limitations and specifically allowed you to sue Trump. Listen to this.
Egan actually helped to get that law passed. It passed last year. We fought.
That law passed. It passed last year. It passed last year.
She's like, oh my gosh, what? E. Jean was like, oh, what? Why did you say this? Her lawyer, who is wearing, I'm sorry, I'm doing this because I can. You guys can't do this. Okay, what's the temperature in New York? Because it is May, and you're wearing a leather top? Pleather? Mm, you got a lot of confidence in your deodorant, do you, lady? So I can say this because you can't. Just be honest. It's the Let's Be Honest show, okay? So, I don't know. I don't get that case. I don't get it. Don't get it. I really don't get it. So, they're going to appeal. So, let's talk about Nikki Haley for a minute. Nikki Mouse. I said it. Patch Ops did the patch. They actually put ears on her. Nikki Mouse. Let me pull this up. Because this is all part. I had this the other day. We're still talking. She doesn't understand, I don't think. The situation with Disney, excuse me, and Ron DeSantis. So she, oh boy, it didn't end up very well for her. She ended up, She was doing some interview. And she, this is like what, the fifth or sixth time that she has spoken about this. And said that she was asked specifically about inviting Disney to South Carolina, right? And she said that she noted, keep in mind that DeSantis took $50,000 worth in contributions from Disney prior to this, she said. And we have this? Do we have the audio?
I don't know.
I thought you said, no, okay. She had said that, that she said, keep in mind that he had taken, she was accusing him of taking donations from the Disney group or whatever. Then he, you know, passes, you know, all this stuff on them and has this board that he put together. So wait, she's mad because, let's just roll with it. First off, she's mad because he held Disney accountable, even though they had donated, the group donated to his campaign. You monster. What? Did I hear that correctly? Lord Farquaad? What?
It's what it looks like.
It's what it looks like. So, by the way, no one tell her how much money was given to the candidate for whom she's a stalking horse. Don't tell her how much Disney gave the candidate and that she's for whom she's a stalking horse. No one tell. It's not like I linked it over at Substack in a previous post or anything with screenshots. Don't do it.
But tell me, though. Tell me.
Don't do, you want to know?
I want to know. Tell me.
Well, I mean, and look, if you're going to get money from who you're going to get money from, I mean, you know, it is what it is. But so I have it on Substack. This was looking at Biden and Trump with the Disney stuff. So you had, Trump got more from Disney than Biden did in 2020.
Yeah.
I was looking at what post it was. It had way more. So the Walt Disney Company, they gave the, and this was Disney, they a lot. They had the total contribution. They had individuals that gave, and then they had like Disney who gave. And then you had the contributions of individuals. It was like, you know, almost 10 to 1 with America First Action over Joe Biden. This was in 2020. You also had, I have a lot of links. And this was in a post that I had about the Reedy Creek. There was a lot. It's a lot of Disney donor money. A lot. And then you also had like the actual, like their little political group with Disney that gave more to, it was the Trump PAC than they did to Biden. But then they also gave like equally to different Democrats and Republicans. And then they gave more to Democrats. And then the individuals gave more to Democrats too. Some of the lower ticket Democrats. So I have all this up on Substack. It's the post with Nikki Haley inviting Disney to relocate to South Carolina. So I'm just saying, nobody tell her that. Shh.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I saw this headline, and it says, fans pass out and throw up as Taylor Swift's Nashville concert is delayed for hours. I thought that the passing out and throwing up was because of the concert. That's true. Let's see here. The FDA seems skeptical, of course they do, of a push for birth control without a prescription. Republicans have been trying to do this for forever, and the FDA is like, I just don't know. I mean, we're just not sure. We'll have a meeting of our experts to see if we can approve over-the-counter sales of it for the first time. We just don't know. But until that time, just keep stabbing your babies. Let's see. In utero. Just, what? Who said that? Oh, wait, see. Let's see. I'm not going to do the story about the Hilton hotel guest because it's disgusting and it involves feet. And we just, I'm not, no, not happening. Not doing it.
Understood.
The government is trying to tell you to set your thermostat at 85 when you leave home. And I'm going to tell you, I'm ready to go to war. Like, I will myself, like, just go ahead and kit up. It's not happening. Let's keep it at 70. Thank you. Stay with us.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
So when we talk about the Biden family and associates, I think it's important for the American people to understand what we mean when we're talking about these associates. What are we really getting at? First, they use them as vehicles to move money directly into Biden family accounts. Why is that? It's because they were looking to obfuscate and hide where the money was coming from. For example, the Bidens used their associate Rob Walker to bring in millions of dollars from China and Romania. Walker's limited liability company, Robinson Walker LLC, paid Hunter, James, Halley, and others in the Biden network more than $2 million after foreign money hit his account. One third to the Bidens. That was the pattern. For example, on March 1st, 2017, only 2 months after Joe Biden left office, Robinson Walker received a $3 million wire from State Energy HK Limited, a Chinese entity. The next day, one third of that money, $1,065,000, went to the bank account in Abu Dhabi of the company EEIG, which was controlled by James Gilliatt, another Biden associate. Over the next 3 months, Robinson Walker LLC sent 16 incremental payments to over five different Biden accounts totaling $1,065,692. This included payments to James Biden, who received five wires and over $50,000, who
That's
did no discernible
money.
Work to earn that money.
A
third to Gilliard,
a
third to the Bidens.
Ooh, that's Congressman Andy Biggs talking about how much of that sweet cash was going to the Bidens. This whole Chinese spy network funding that family. Welcome back to the program. At the bottom of this third hour, your lovable curmudgeon here with you. And it is a little ridiculous that, I mean, I made this point on social media. The people who give Hunter Biden a pass demand that you care about George Santos. And I love the people that are like, anybody who cares about corruption, which shut up. That's not what we're talking about, Karen. Clearly, only one side cares about corruption. If you want to have two systems of justice, then there is no justice. That means we get to act like fools then, huh? Picking and choosing what we're gonna pass, what we're gonna pay attention to, the whole nine yards. I'm just saying. It's what seems like. So this with the Bidens, you also had the Romanian money. There, I mean, how much more do we have here? The Romanian money, the family that, they had $10 million in payments from one thing. They had over $1 million from the Romanians. You got the Ukrainian deals. Oh, my gosh. Oh, the president's brother James and sister Valerie, because there's nine Bidens that are implicated in all of this. And you're looking at 16 LLCs, more than 20 different companies to conceal this money. 16 of them LLCs, $10 million over from Chinese nationals. At least nine Bidens got money. And you're looking at Ukraine, China, and Romania. Man alive. So also a couple of other things that I want to make sure that we're touching on here. And one of these, I'm pulling up my previous piece on this because I've written about this case. I wanted to get into, I didn't want the day to go by without touching on it. This, it came out, the news broke like right when we were coming on air. Do you remember the Army sergeant that was convicted of killing a Black Lives Matter protester? Do you remember this? It was the story of Daniel Perry, and this what he was, I guess like an Uber driver, and he was also military, and he had been in the middle, inadvertently, of one of these BLM protests, apparently. And what ended up happening is they said that there was a guy who was protesting with a rifle, and the guy who had the rifle, he had apparently been called out previously by law enforcement because he was, they said he wasn't apparently carrying it in a responsible manner. He was apparently, I mean, it looked aggressive, and he had been warned about this previously. And so this, what ended up happening is the guy who was driving this, Daniel Perry, was sitting behind the wheel, and he sees this guy with the rifle, and he thinks that he's in danger, and he shoots and kills the guy with the rifle. And so we weren't in there in the trial. We didn't see what everyone else saw, but I also don't want to rush to criminalize or label as scary the simple carrying of a rifle, right? That was the one thing that I was really worried about with this case in terms of how this is going to play out. Because, I mean, there's a difference between carrying a rifle, just open carrying a rifle, and there's a difference between actually, you know, pointing at someone. And I think what was always at the crux of the debate was whether or not he was actually pointing his barrel, whether or not he wasn't just carrying low ready. In some states, it's a difference between a misdemeanor and a felony, you know, where your muzzle's pointed. And I think it's difficult to see in all the video that's out there, but it seems that the crux of the debate hinged upon whether or not that the protester had actually pointed his gun at Perry. And they had a lot of eyewitnesses, but I got to be honest with you, I'm not going to trust a bunch of eyewitnesses out there for a BLM protest. I'm not, because a lot of this is Antifa. Would you trust them, Kane, if you were a judge and you're sitting there listening to the, I mean, I wouldn't trust them. No. So I got a lot of questions, because again, it comes down to, can you defend yourself or not? And this, we weren't there in the courtroom, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in depth tomorrow, but they gave him 25 years. He was convicted. They gave him 25 years. The conviction and sentencing already taken place. Now, Abbott previously had asked the state's parole board to review his case in an expedited manner, because Abbott just can't, because this was in Texas, he can't, it's a little bit of a different setup. He can't just pardon someone. You have to ask the parole board the governor can request that the parole board examine the case and make a decision, and also state what they hope the decision would be. But they can't force the board to make the decision, and they can't make it themselves. So, but he had already asked the state board to review that case in an expedited manner. But I don't know when that's going to happen. They would have to examine the case and say, yes, he can be pardoned. And then Abbott would be able to pardon him. So his attorney, Clint Broden, said that they're going to appeal the conviction. And they said that they're appealing this, because this was in April when he was convicted in April. The shooting happened in July of 2020 in Austin, and Perry was stationed at Fort Hood at the time, and he was an Uber driver. He was in downtown Austin where he had just dropped off someone, which is why he was down there in the first place, because there were discussions of, well, if he was in Fort Hood, why was he in Austin? Why was he downtown Austin? Well, he was an Uber driver as well. And people said that he was out looking to target someone, which doesn't seem to be supported by his choice of attire. I mean, he's military and he was in shorts and flip-flops, right? Driving his car. That if you were actually going to go out and target someone, anyone with an ounce of sense or training is going to tell you, you ain't wearing shorts and flip-flops. So that doesn't seem, and he said that he ended up getting turned around, and the next thing he knew, he was at an intersection, and he was in the middle of, you know, I mean, they had so many damn riots down there and everything else. He was in the middle of all of it. And that's when he saw the guy approaching him with the rifle. Now, do I believe that someone who has been involved in protesting and that have turned into, in some instances, riots, and, you know, people who back a pretty dishonest claim as an excuse for total lawlessness, and could I be compelled to believe that they actually would, as a way to, like, joke on someone or freak someone out, that they would maybe raise the bear? Yeah, I can be prevailed upon to believe that. But with something as, I mean, it's a serious thing. That's where it gets very, very, that's where it gets sticky. And I'm all about self-defense, obviously. But I also want to make sure that we're not like, oh my gosh, that guy just has a rifle. Like mom's demand. And start swatting people who simply just like carry rifles. Simply carrying a rifle is not threatening. And I don't want conservatives to get baited into making that argument by jumping in too quickly on that point in this case. You can't see it in the video. I always be cautious. But I know people would rather have their hot take out there circulating because it's much easier to, you know, try to clarify it later. They just to get the attention now. But you get a lot of dumb takes. You get a lot of dumb takes. Like some of the people out there pushing the E-Verify without paying attention to Thomas Massie's warning about all of it. So we'll see. We'll talk more about this case tomorrow. But it looks like Abbott, I mean, if the parole board does make that recommendation, Abbott will absolutely. He's already said that he would pardon him. Now, the other thing is the war on dishwashers. You know, the left was trying to make fun of DeSantis for having this fight with Disney. And they were saying, oh, Ron DeSantis versus Mickey Mouse. Oh, but you have Joe Biden versus your dishwasher. Just want to make that point. Yeah, your whole damn kitchen versus your dishwasher. Yeah, now it's a dishwasher. So I just, jeez, this is absurd. It's dumb. They were going after the phosphates. They've been going after absolutely everything, and they were going after your gas stove, which they said they weren't going after your gas stove. And now you have all these states that are pursuing this. I think, what was it? There was a Washington state, I think it was another state that's like pursuing, I'm looking at my notes, pursuing this. So the Biden administration, everything, they want to make everything green and suck. So they're getting rid of all of these Trump era deregulations because they went in and they removed a lot of these stupid regulations that were making everything overly expensive and, you know, almost prohibitive, etc. So now they want these ridiculous energy efficiency rules, which actually means you're going to use more ultimately, especially if you run a cycle twice. They said, oh, it's going to save Americans $652 million in utility bills every year. So you can give it more to that. You can give that money to the IRS. See, we'll save you money here so you can give it to the IRS. It's up to Americans to determine how they want to save their money, by the way. So the Department of Energy has all of these energy efficient standard things affecting the electric motors and vending machines and all of this stuff. And so Jennifer Granholm came out with a press release and they're going to tighten these energy efficient standards for 16 different product categories, many home appliances, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the appliance regulation, the dishwasher thing is one of them. And the Department of Energy is like, we promise we're not going to worsen dishwasher quality. That's a lie. And, they said it's going to improve your energy and water efficiency. You have to say that because the Department of Energy is actually, the Department of Energy cannot set a performance standard for a product that actually undermines the product itself. You can't do that. You can't You can't set a standard of performance that makes the product crappy. The Department of Energy cannot do that. When they did, when they came after the, what was it, the phosphates? Yeah, they have 5 gallons now. The new models are 3.5, and they want it 3.2 gallons.
We're already, they're being manufactured below the current regulation, which is 5 gallons. Now they want to move that regulation from 5 gallons to 3.2 gallons so that everyone who is at 3.5 gallons and in compliance now will have to get rid of it.
You know, a lot of people are going to have to run cycles twice.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah. It's my money, my water.
Yeah, if I want to spend, that's, you pay for, if I want to spend how I want to spend it, I'm going to spend it how I want to spend it. Stop telling us that. You buy Coke and hookers for your son. You don't get to tell us how to spend your money when your money gets snorted up your son's nose.
Yeah.
To say, that's the least offensive thing I can describe about it.
And then spit on the canvas.
Yeah. You don't get to tell us how we spend our money. Get bent. I will, oh man, no, no, no. You know what? Black market dishwashers.
Yeah.
Come hit a girl up. Come on.
Ten,
yeah, 10-gallon dishwasher. Eat that, DOE. Man, I'm telling you what.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
All right, so I'm told repeatedly that we don't have a lot of time left. Tomorrow we're going to have to talk about Beetlejuice 2. And we're also going to talk about that Trump town hall tonight. Everything's happening today. And then Title 42 tomorrow. Today in Stupidity King.
Oh, Democrat Hank Johnson. He is talking today. Actually, this was right in front of the committee. And this is what he said. Listen to this.
Republicans like to see them lined up at the border because they know that that's a stream of labor ready to be exploited with cheap,
oh my gosh,
if any, compensation.
I
mean, if you could get back to slavery, you would gladly do so.
All right, so that's about as bad as it actually got, but that's incredibly stupid take.
Two things. I hate his tie. Who dressed him? Number one. Number two. I feel like he's playing a character, and this is like one big troll.
That's what I think, too.
Right? Tomorrow, it's insane. Title 42, we got that town hall on CNN tonight. So much happening, folks. We'll be back with you tomorrow for all the insanity. Sign up for Chapman Verse at Substack.